Hello, family and friends. I just want to take a moment to say thank you for tuning in to this episode, which is a tribute to the late Ellis Kelly. We recorded this on July 11th. One of the things that has given me comfort and solace in this time of loss is his ability to still help and still have a desire to minister. And three of the greatest accomplishments that I think we accomplished together were parenting, business, and most of all, ministry. And I'm appreciative of this interview because it's very raw, it's very transparent, and it is a look into how far we had come together. And then after a divorce, I sincerely hope that you listen to the sentiments of his heart and what is applicable to your life you will take and use it in your days going forward. Again, thank you and God bless you and happy birthday. Hello, beauty queens. Listen, y'all are riding, y'all are rocking, y'all are still here with me, and I'm so appreciative of you just sticking around. I told you that I had a special guest, the final guest of this show, and I'm so elated and just humbled at the fact that he would even accept my invitation. Just a little bit of overview, a little summary. The guest was committed to me in marriage at one point. He is the father of my children, so I like my baby daddy or whatever, you know. And so my special guest and my final guest is none other than Ellis. Welcome and thank you so much for taking this opportunity to do this podcast with me, Ellis.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So happy to have you. So I don't know if you pay attention to pop culture or if you've even been watching what's going on with Will, Jada, and Mr. August Alsina. But I decided to take an opportunity to do a podcast about entanglements, toxic entanglements, predatory behaviors, and the mental illness that you can develop associated with these relationships. The reason why I invited you to the podcast is because you probably know me well enough to know that I am, or I try to be transparent. I haven't always been open with my story, but because my desire in this season is to help other people, I went ahead and ousted myself and said that I had an entanglement situation, okay? And I said that on Facebook openly without too much detail, because when I was going through my entanglement, it was not for public or social consumption, probably because I thought I was doing it without the light shining on me. But we know that God is forever watching and he's ever present in everything that we do. However, I invited you because when I listened to August Alsina in his interview, what I heard from him was a very broken man who had suffered consecutive losses from his mother to his grandmother to his sister, a lot of family he had to take on, his niece and nephew after his sister passed away. He also had health issues and an autoimmune disease that's attacking his body every day. So he was in a very vulnerable space. And I could really identify with what he was saying based on your life story, based on the things that you have endured. So I invited you to this for pretty much your insight on what it's like to recover, you know, from brokenness. What is it like to recover? One of August Alsina's comments was that when he left this situation with Jada, it left him broken. It left him traumatized and paralyzed. He said it almost killed him, and it pushed him, you know, to be a newer self. And it's the hardest thing that he's ever dealt with in life. So I just kind of wanted to get your input, and if you could kind of help listeners develop some kind of sense of, I guess, understanding on what it's like to be a Black male, you know, who feels like they've lost everything.
Wow. Interesting. Just to let y'all know, she didn't prepare me, but... yeah, it's a lot, man, because you got a lot going on. As a Black man, you already got a lot on your plate. Just trying to be, first of all, trying to be a Black man. I mean, a lot of people don't know what that entails, but that entails a lot, just trying to be a Black man, because the Black man is... it's like a deer, man. We're hunted. So it's kind of hard being a Black man, period. So trying to be a strong Black man for everybody, you know, it takes on a lot. And sometimes people get put on the side. Some things get put on the side. And most of the time it's you that you put on the side for others. Not knowing that putting you on the side for others is not helping others. So my thing was, I've always been to put people first, put others first. If my family is happy, then I'm happy. If everybody happy, I'm happy. And one of the things was, man, God, just keep my family, you know, my mom, my dad, everybody, if I do your will, right? And the moment I said, I will, I lost my father. Then 2 years later, I lost my mom. You know what I'm saying? And the only thing I had left was my household family. You know what I'm saying? At that time. And I was like, God, just hold it together, because I don't have nothing else. You know? I don't have nothing else. Like, I don't have nothing else. This is it for me, you know. I can't call my mom and say, Mom, how you doing? I can't call my dad and say, Dad, what do I do now? I don't have nothing. So, God, I'm leaning on you to help me help you keep this together. And eventually, I couldn't. It was out of my control. There's nothing else I could do to keep the family I had in my household together. So at that point, you don't have nothing. As a Black man, you know, all you have is you. Like, and now at this point, you feel like a total failure. Mm-hmm. You done lost your mom, you done lost your dad, the people that gave you all your advice, the people that held you together, the people that you could lean on. Whenever you had a question, the people that wouldn't truly judge you. So you could ask anything and they wouldn't judge you. You know what I'm saying? So now I done lost the one thing that I love most is the people in my house. So now I'm out here by myself trying to figure out how I'm gonna pick up the pieces. Yeah. And in the midst of trying to pick up the pieces, I make bad decisions. I make bad choices that put me in positions that I wasn't too happy with, but that was the choices I made because I was feeling alone in this world, you know? And being a broken Black man, feeling alone, nowhere to go, don't know how you're gonna make it from day to day, feeling like don't nobody love you, feeling like there's nothing you can do right, feeling like everybody is against you, feeling like the things that you want to control and you want to keep and you want to hold on to, feeling like there's nothing you can do about it, feeling like God didn't let you down, you know what I'm saying? Man, that's the worst place to be, man. Like, I hit rock bottom. My bank account didn't say rock bottom. The way I look may not have said rock bottom, but emotionally, inside, as a man, I was empty. I had nothing left. I couldn't pour into nobody because I had nothing to pour into them no more. I didn't want nobody to pour in me because I wasn't trying to hear it, because God, I felt God had filled me. If God can't pour into me, who else, you know what I'm saying, can pour into me? And all these people around me that said that they love me, where are you now?
Wow. So I hear you saying that you, as a Black male, felt like you had to sacrifice yourself for others. You had to sacrifice yourself for the happiness, for, you know, the provision, for the, you know, contentment of other people. And then when it was all said and done, you felt like you were empty and alone, because when you looked around, none of those people were there. And I'm included in that. And I'll never try to act like I'm not a part of what you feel like God failed. It was not him. It was the actions of the parties involved. It wasn't him. And a lot of what you're saying makes me believe that August was probably in the same situation that you found yourself in. He found himself taking those consecutive hits and losses and found himself in a very vulnerable place. And then he connected himself to a woman of prestige like Jada, and he fell in love with her. He said that he gave his all to this relationship, and it ended up hurting him. And if you listen to her interview, she says that she felt like she was the person that was sent to heal him. But I've never known a healing that hurts. I've never known a healing or a person that comes into your life that's supposed to be helping you, that ends up making you make statements that say that you felt like you were butchered, and you felt like, you know, you were killed in this situation. Something else that I just want to, I guess, talk about really quick is, for those people who are considering marriage, someone commented on my status when I said that I had found myself in an entanglement situation like Jada. He said that, and I quote, "Not trying to downplay your thoughts, but I find it bewildering that folks who claim to follow the Bible bend the rules to suit their particular needs. If you are married, you took the vows. So if I'm mistaken, if you are married and you seek refuge outside of your marriage, you still are the textbook definition of an adulterer. If it doesn't work out, then you don't leave the door unlocked just in case. You're either in or you're out, because the children are the ones who will suffer the most and who will teach them." And my response to him was definitely that I agree with the definition of an adulterer, and we don't bend anything over here. The word is clear and sure. I personally know several marriages where infidelity became an issue. Seeking refuge outside the marriage isn't always the narrative. There are spirits that drive others to come put asunder a union that God joined together. Some people aren't equipped or wise enough to see the trap and snare. That's not an excuse to break the covenant, but all situations aren't cut and dry. And I'll just leave it there. If y'all want to read that, y'all can go see the status itself. But when you go into covenant and you take these vows, how important do you think it is for both parties to really understand exactly what they're agreeing to? So what is the importance of marriage counseling and making sure that you are both on the same page before taking that huge commitment to marry?
you know, when it comes to that type of stuff, to me, it varies in all situations. Marriage counseling can be good if it's done by the right people. And it has to be people that has been through something, that knows what the ups and downs of a relationship is about. I honestly think if you take marriage counseling from a family, from a couple that says it's always been good in their relationship, then you're not going to know what you're preparing yourself for. Now, I understand that sometimes bad decisions are made in a marriage, and adultery happens and other things happen. But there's another piece to that story that I succumb to on the other hand. But even though something happens and the devil get a hold to your spouse, or your spouse is making bad decisions, do you just walk away? Even if they walk away from you, do you just walk away? Or do you turn to God and say, God, I know the vow I made. And until they are released from whatever they're going through, I'm going to stand on my vow. Mm. And I'm going to be there for my spouse. Now, and the reason I say that is because I seen a show yesterday, because I like to watch documentaries, and this man was cheating on his wife in his career, and his wife stood fast for their relationship, she said, because she knew the love she had for her husband and the love he had for her, and she knew God would never fail.
Mm. Wow.
And today, to this day, they have one of the strongest relationships. They love each other dearly. And they kept, and she kept their family together, not mm-hmm. him. But it was her and her trust in God and knowing that God would never fail her that kept her family together.
Wow.
So it's two pieces in that. And, you know, both parties got to be ready for the good and the bad.
Wow. You know? I always, you know, want to make sure that what I'm doing is edifying or is promoting healing and growth for someone. This is just a little bit of insight of our personal journey together, and then individually, without getting you all the details, because that's none of your business. I think that we got that covered and figuring that out personally with the two parties. But I do want to suggest to those of you who are married, maybe having marital issues, or if you're, you know, considering marriage, that marriage is a three-strand cord. It's between the husband, wife, and our Father in heaven. And when you invite other people into that scenario, that's when things become complex and complicated. You don't have any business seeking outside of your home, not from your mama, your coworker, advice from anyone, because they will, you know, sway your opinions with certain situations that are happening in your household. And so, Ellis, if you could, would you give some advice or give some kind of insight on maybe, you know, how to help men if they're struggling or if they feel like they're failing in their marriage?
Well, I don't know how much advice I can give. All I can tell you is, like she said, man, there's three stories. There's his story, there's her story, and there's the truth. And the only way you can get to the truth is through God, because God is the truth. So even though you take his story and you take her story and you put it together, you both got to be willing to see God. Now, in this relationship, there's a two people union that is made, and there's a covenant that's taken before God, and the ring is supposed to be the ring that holds you guys together. I don't know how much advice I can give you, but
I can tell you don't feel good. We might.
Stay prayed up, man. Stay prayed up. Keep God first. Know that he is who he is. And if he told you that's the person for you, then through hell and high water, man, stay there. Stay there. I know it sounds crazy for me to say something like that because I didn't. I'm not going to lie. The moment it left, I left. But if I could have did it all over again, I would have did it differently. And that's just the truth to the matter.
Well, Ellis, I appreciate you giving your insight on this topic. I didn't want to go too long, definitely, because I had another guest on here. And so, you know, life is hard. We don't always understand the journey that we're on. But I do believe that God will always get the absolute glory out of our life. Some people may think that I'm absolutely crazy for inviting my ex-husband. Or what did I call you? I forgot what I called you on my video that I posted. My ex-bae, whatever, onto a podcast. But I want you to understand transparency in your own life, sweeping around your own front door. I'm realizing that, you know, your story and what you've endured and what you've encountered play a part in those who are connected to you. And you have to heal. You have to get you together. Find yourself first before you try to find love. Make sure you know who you are. Make sure that you aren't going to hurt people, that you aren't toxic, that you don't have predatory behaviors that you may have picked up in past relationships, that you are not toxic before you go into covenant with someone, because these types of behaviors can breed mental illness in your partner. And so, Ellis, just again, I want to thank you for taking the opportunity. I'm humbled that you said yes to do this. Did you want to leave any words with my listeners?
Yeah, I do want to leave something. One thing we always, when you get into a relationship, you always look at how you feel and how that other person feel and your happiness or their happiness. But you always got to remember, man, there's a lot of people involved that gets hurt in a bad relationship, because you got a whole family behind you and that other person got a whole family behind them. And not only, and in a real relationship, all these people are invested in both of you guys. So when you break up a whole huge family, a whole huge amount of people that don't know what to do now. You know, do I still love them? Do I don't love them? You know, it's like it's a really large involvement when you say, when you go to that altar and say I do, you bring together two families as one, not only two people but two families as one. When you guys break up, now everybody has to adjust. You know, now the awkward seas come in when that other person comes around. You don't know, should you still love them? Not, you don't know nothing. So just always remember that it's just not just you guys. It's a lot of people standing behind you that's going to fall like dominoes.
Wow. That's powerful and very well needed. I think that's great insight. That's wisdom, that you are affecting the lives of others. You are, you know, your decisions and what you decide do, you know, have the ability to confuse, you know, other people who are involved, especially children who have learned to love, you know, your family. And yeah, so I appreciate that insight. Thank you again so much for accepting this invitation. If I have other topics, I hope that you would consider to come back again and maybe share, so that we can promote healthy dialogue and help others who, you know, may be struggling. You know, we may not be the most qualified, but we do have a story and we definitely have a testimony. And so I thank you so much. And stay tuned, ladies. One last segment. And I appreciate you. Thanks, Ellis.
All right. Take care.
Hello. Thank you so much for tuning in to this tribute podcast to Ellis Lewis Kelly II. I am grateful that you took time out of your schedule to listen. And I pray that something that was said will be a staple in your journey, that it will help you along your way. And I just wanted to take a moment to pray as I close out this podcast. Father God, I just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you, Lord God, that you are a God who is omnipresent. You're omniscient. You are a God who knows all and sees all. You are Alpha and Omega, and we glorify you and honor you, and we lift you up in all the earth because your name is worthy to be praised. It's because of you that we live, move, and have our very being. Father, I just want to give you glory for the life of Ellis Lewis Kelly II, for he was your son, Father God, and you chose him just as he chose you, and he put you first in everything that he did. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you for the memories, the time, the legacy, and the love that he shared abroad with many people. And I pray that they have comfort and that they have great memories that they're able to hold on and cling on to, remembering the good times. Lord, I just ask that if there be anything that is troubling them concerning this, that they realize that your son is resting in you. He knew you and he loved you and he chose you. And so I just want to take a moment for those who may not know you to take this opportunity in honor of Ellis to choose Jesus this day. And I want to lead you in the sinner's prayer so that you too, one day when the trumpet sounds, will have a place in the kingdom just with Ellis. And so let's go to God with the sinner's prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. If you prayed this prayer for me, with me, your life will never be the same. I thank you for tuning in, and God bless you. And as Ella said, take care.